Welcome to the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, focusing on linking business with grassroots sport. My name's David Waldridge, and this week I'll be speaking to Bhavish of BRS Accounts and Tax, one of our elite champions at Koi Sports, and the grassroots organisation he's decided to invest in, FSD Academy. It'll be really interesting to hear the amazing work that this grassroots organisation is doing to blend education with sports for young people. So, without further delay, let's get started on the latest episode of the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.
My name is Bab Sangani. I'm the Diversity Director of BRS Security Services Limited. This is coming set up last year with the pandemic to help small businesses with their accounting and taxation needs.
So what makes BRS Accounting Services different from any other accountancy?
It's a personal touch. That's the main thing for the business. It's just keeping in touch with all the directors. I don't have any staff. I do all the work myself. I help them, support them. And I specialize in more startup businesses and help them through the pandemic, which we're still going through. And I get as much as government support, grant aid support, government furlough scheme, anything which is available to help these businesses survive and going forward and expand with them.
So what services do you offer to these particular businesses that you work with?
I focus mainly on startups and young businesses, so I provide full accounting services from preparing their annual accounts for corporation tax, filing their accounts with Companies House, doing their taxation, doing the VAT on a regular basis, doing the payroll, and just keeping in touch with them on a monthly basis to see what their business needs are and to help them support and guide them.
So working with smaller businesses, startups and charities, would you say you enjoy that more than maybe working with particularly larger clients that you might have done from past experiences?
Yes, I've had a very good experience of dealing with large clients and working in the public sector, but this part of the job is more enjoyable because you're actually making a difference and supporting people, entrepreneurs to expand and grow. Passion of mine is helping charities. I work for the Prince's Trust, where we set up 1,000 businesses. The charity area is more rewarding and making sure that the causes they do are very, very good and make changes to people's lives.
With working with those smaller businesses and charities, does that allow for you and your business to therefore have more of a presence within the community?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, by supporting charities and local events is having a presence there. And also I'm a member of the Audley Support Business Support Group, where we set up for their local area, where also local businesses regularly communicate, do networking and talk to each other and help support each other. It's at times like this where there's so much uncertainty around.
Well, I think you touched upon it there, the reason why community is so important, because it's important to almost lean on each other as businesses together, be each other's pillars in some ways.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the Audley Business Support Group was set up just a few, like last January this year. We've got more than 100 members now in the group and trying to have monthly meetings.
Do you have any advice for particular trends that small businesses and charities should be thinking about moving forward?
Keep on top of your numbers, really. Keep a track of your figures, and keeping on top of your accounts is important. And that's where I can help them, support them, and they can start planning ahead, because we have to be think ahead all the time and plan accordingly.
And do you think that's more important than ever, really? Because those businesses that didn't plan previously are sadly no longer with us.
Unfortunately, some businesses have left us now, but hopefully the businesses which have survived will become stronger as they get through the pandemic, and plan ahead is crucial.
So as an accountancy, what are the biggest challenges that you face?
I mean, but the biggest challenge was just to help and support as many people as I can, really. I've had lots of support, requests for my practice started last year in April, and it's gone from strength to strength, and just long people wanting support, really, asking for advice, and then hopefully this is where I came in and made it as easy as possible for them to get all the support they get.
Well, as you said, you started this accountancy during the pandemic. Surely that is the biggest achievement for you with this company at the moment.
It is. I mean, it just came by chance when I lost my position at a reputable firm in Leicester. And then by chance, I had a couple of clients, and from one thing led to another, with just word of mouth and networking through organizers like Koi Sports and others, and just to grow and support each other. And it was enjoyable and rewarding as well.
You mentioned your passion for the community, and I imagine accountancy is a world that can be rather all-consuming, looking at screens and numbers all day. So it's rather good to let off some steam through sport. Is that what made you become an elite champion with Koi Sports?
Exactly, yeah. I love sports. I'm a Leicester City fan through and through for the last 40 years. Actually went to Wembley recently as well to watch him play. And it's amazing. And when I heard about Koi Sports to David, I found that I can relate and talk to people which is similar-minded and network and do business with them as well.
Very jealous of your Wembley win and Wembley visit, Bab.
It was an amazing day.
You obviously have a passion for the local area, and because you've become an elite champion with Koi Sports, that allows you to invest in a local grassroots organisation. Can you tell us where your donation is going and why it's going in this particular way?
Charity I chose is recently formed. It's a FSD Academy based in Leicester, and they support young men to basically change their lives, really, by using football training. And the support is run by two ex-Leicester City players, Matt Piper and his colleague, and they basically provide BTEC courses and change people's lives, and they've achieved through this through the academy.
So, Bav, what are your plans moving forward now with BRS Accounting?
To be honest, at the moment, I'm really got to a stage where there's enough work there to keep me going and just to consolidate myself and just really work hard and provide a good service and keep on going.
So if we are a small business, a charity, and we need some financial advice, how can we hear more about you, Bav?
You can look at my website on brsaccounts.co.uk, and I'm here to help you as many people as I can.
Bavish of BRS Accountants and Tax there, one of our elite champions at Koi Sports. Find out more about how you can get involved with Koi Sports and support us in helping to sustain, enhance and grow the grassroots sports sector, promoting a sport for all culture by heading to our website or searching Koi Sports on social media. Now let's hear from the organisation Bav has decided to invest in through Koi Sports as an elite champion, former Leicester City FC and Sunderland player Matt Piper from FSD Academy.
My name's Matt Piper and I used to be a former Premier League footballer. Unfortunately, my career got cut short through injury at the age of about 24. In all honesty, then I was lost for a couple of years because my purpose had gone. I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have any direction to go in life. And then I found my passion for coaching and trying to educate youngsters on and off the football pitch. That's sort of where the idea of FSD Academy was born. I then coached in schools for a number of years and was a mentor and a coach at Leicester City. And then it brought me to the place where I felt I needed more influence to try and help certain youngsters in the city of Leicester. And I thought the best way to do that is through creating my own academy. So that's how the FSD Academy was born.
So because you've started up this coaching academy now, do you think that a lot of the kind of passion behind that was from your journey to the Premier League and you're kind of bringing that out again, but through coaching?
Wow, David, no one's ever asked me that question before. It's a great question. And what I would say is it is a part of my journey, but it was my friends that I had been at Leicester City with since the age of 8, 9, 10 years old, went all the way through to the age of 16. And then fortunately, obviously, my personal story, I made it into the youth team and then into the first team. But a lot of my really close friends that I'm still friends with now fell off around them times when they didn't get taken on. Because as I say, purpose is probably the biggest motivating factor in my life. I need purpose. If I haven't got it, I haven't got a pathway to move forward. So that's what happened to a lot of my friends. Football was their purpose. It's all that they dreamed about, all that they wanted to do. So when that was taken away from them and they didn't continue in football, I watched it in real time, how their sort of lives unraveled and that they didn't have that pathway and what to do. And it took a lot of them, you know, a good 5, 6 years, way into their 20s, until they found another pathway, whatever they were going to be, whether it was a plumber, a builder, a creator, whatever that was going to be, a lot of them fell off and sort of just drifted through life for those next few years. And that was probably the first point where I thought, I need to do something for this age group. And that's what I wanted to do. Obviously, when I had a full flourishing career, I thought I'd get to the age that I'm probably at now, 39 years old, and I'd go into something where I worked with 16, 17-year-olds that had lost their pathway. It wasn't to be. I lost my pathway at 24 when I had to come out of professional football. took me a few years, but then now I'm really in a place where I feel I can make a difference to the ones that have sort of not got a pathway to move forward.
Because of the journey you took all the way to the top, in a way, you're better at coaching and understanding young people rising through the ranks and maybe becoming lost on that journey better than anyone else, better than a player that would just start up an academy purely from look at the success I've had. You can almost set up the academy from look at what I've been through, exactly like you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain part of that. I mean, what I would say is I think everyone's got their own individual qualities and especially their own individual experiences, life experiences. And it was unfortunate for me. My life experience was falling, you know, off the edge of a cliff after my football career finished. And what I mean by that is I because I didn't know what to do, because my purpose was gone, I turned to drugs, alcohol, and I found myself in a very desperate place. So that's my life experience. So I think people will have different qualities. Someone can have a real full flourishing career, I think, some footballers, and come out and still, you know, have a pathway in coaching, and the life experience that they've had for having a full career will help them and help others navigate through the difficult times I'm talking about. Mine is very personal to me, and a lot of the kids that we have come on our course are very similar to my background. They're growing up in, you know, single parent families, not too many finances at home, so I can relate in that way. But I use that in my coaching and the way that I run the FSD Academy to show these kids that there is a pathway for you and there is a way out and a way forward to success. It's happened with me. And thankfully now, we've been running nearly 4 years now, and it's begun to happen with, you know, the graduates of FSD Academy. So, you know, someone asked me a question the other day, do you prefer what you do now or when you played in the Premier League? And funnily enough, and it's not because of, you know, where I am at in my life now or what I've been through, but funnily enough, I get more fulfillment with what I do now than when I played in the Premier League. And when you've got a dream at 8 years old, from 8 years old, to playing at top flight football and seeing yourself on Match of the Day and scoring goals in the Premier League, you never think that could get any better. You know, I did that. I went through that. And now I'm doing this with these kids at the FSD Academy. And I know, hand on heart, I get more fulfillment with what I do now than what I was doing back then. So, you know, that's sort of the story that I try and use to some of these youngsters. They all have dreams to do certain things. Them dreams may not, you know, be fulfilled. And if it's not, it just means there's a different way for the pathway. And that's how we try and inspire and develop these youngsters that we work with.
I think inspire being the key word there. I'm really intrigued to get into all the brilliant aspects that FSD do. I know Bav mentioned it earlier, mixing it with a BTEC qualification, which I think is incredible. But I just want to get your opinion on this as someone that went through that journey. Do you think there's enough done by some of these top clubs in aftercare of those youth graduates who may not necessarily make it?
It's a question that's been asked for years, David. And, you know, my opinion on it is no. But I think it's very difficult for football clubs, because at the end of the day, a football club is a business. And, you know, whilst you're a commodity of that business, they're going to do everything they can and try everything they can to get you to a place where you're performing well on the football pitch, which is, you know, the business end of results. Now, once you're not a commodity anymore and they decide to release you or you get injured, in my case, I think football clubs look at it and think, well, he's not a commodity anymore. If we put money into his support, his welfare, his well-being, it isn't going to bring anything back to us. And you know, I just think that they are the facts. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I think football and football clubs especially could have a little more of a heart in that respect. And, you know, once you've been a player of the football club, I think you should always be looked after. So I definitely think more can be done with the football clubs, with the FA, with the PFA. That's what I'd say on that. It's quite a difficult subject, to be honest, for me, because the PFA were absolutely fantastic with me in how they supported me, but only when I got to rock bottom. So the PFA paid for me to go into rehab and really supported me. But from quitting football through injury to hitting rock bottom where, you know, I almost took my own life, that was when the PFA began to support me. And, you know, the question's always asked, well, if you didn't reach out for the help, how did we know we needed to help you? And that's a viable question. But what I would say to that is anyone that needs help predominantly doesn't reach out for it. So it's a really difficult subject to talk about because I see it from both sides. But definitely more could be done across the whole board. And not just if you've made it, like in my position, as you say, the youngsters that get to 16, they've been at a club for 10 or so years, and then they get released. They're just sort of let out the front gates and they're gone. More definitely needs to be done in that respect.
And I suppose, in a way, that shows exactly why organisations like yours, FSD Academy, why they're so important, mixing education with sport so that there is a future after their footballing career.
I think so. I mean, that was a huge part of it. So we take anyone at the FSD Academy who, all you need is a passion for football. You don't have to be the best footballer. And that's why I love the place so much. We've managed to create an organisation that can take a kid that comes straight out of Leicester City at 16, who still has ambition to be a professional footballer. But then we take a kid that just loves having a kick about down the park with his mates. We've got our head coach, we've got our apprentice coaches, to try and, you know, evolve the sessions where everyone can be involved. We have an elite team, then we have a reserve team, and then we have a development team. And we ask the students when they first come in, where do they see themselves at the minute on the scale? And what's great is when they come in, you might get a guy that says, no, I just enjoy playing football down the park. But having daily football training alongside his education, he might quickly progress. And then all of a sudden, within a year, he's got ambition to play a higher level of football. His mentality changes, and vice versa. With the elite guys that come in straight from Leicester City, some of them might decide to concentrate more on education and let the football side sort of decline a little bit. So it's a real good eclectic mix down there of boys. And this year, we're starting the girls' academy for the first time, which is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how different people have different strengths. So someone could come to you that want to progress their life skills, but then someone else might want to come to you and develop academically, or some, as you said there, just develop their footballing abilities. And so actually, you're almost an organisation working on three kind of avenues at the same time there.
Yeah, I mean, and we make that easier by our sort of philosophy of the FSD Academy. Once you walk in the front door, when you leave, you have to have developed. You have to have. You know, we make this clear from the start, myself and Owen Johnson, my business partner. You can't come in the front door at a stage in life and not develop in any way. So whether that's on the football pitch, whether that's academically or your social side, the life skills, you have to move forward. You have to progress. We're big believers in that. And it doesn't matter if you came in with the idea to progress at football and then you change your mind whilst you're with us, but then you go on to university. I mean, Bab mentioned it in his little piece that he did. Our biggest success story, we've had children go to trials at professional clubs. We've had our first professional contract, a young boy called Ben Starkey, who went out to Germany and signed for a League Two side straight from our academy, who was previously released by Leicester City. But that's not our biggest success story. Our biggest success story, we feel, is those 11 kids throughout the 3 years we've been running that came to us labelled as no-hopers from the schools that we took them from because they didn't pass a GCSE or they were disruptive in class or, you know, quite difficult to deal with in the classroom. 11 children now have came to us with that mentality and left after 2 or 3 years and gone on to university. So, you know, you see the progression, that there's no better feeling than that. And that's why when I say this job now gives me more reward than playing in the professional football did, they're the cases why.
Well, Matt, you clearly have a passion for grassroots sport and all the amazing work that your academy is doing within the community as well. But as you've been chosen by BRS Accounting for their donation from Koi Sports, how will that help the FSD Academy?
Well, that went straight to our CIC, and that helps us to continue the outreach work that we do in the communities around where we work. Bavish, you obviously spoke to him earlier, is such a great guy. He was very humble talking, and he did start up in you know, the first lockdown. He's done ever so well. He's been helping us with our finances and the way we structure the business. He helped us create the CIC to help us create those pathways moving forward for some of these boys. And I'm sure there will be one to come, which I'm waiting for, but he's still, as yet, he's been working with us for about 8-9 months, Bavish, and he still hasn't built the company because he sees it as an extension of helping and supporting the community. He's been so good for me and Owen because, as I say, a lot of these kids that we have come through, you know, I feel there's a real lack of education about finances and money in the school system, especially from the demographic of boys that we attract at the FSD Academy. And those were the same sort of boys as myself and Owen. So all of a sudden, you come through that environment, you make it as a footballer, you earn all this money, you get to 24, you have to quit the game, and by 26, you haven't got anything left. And to me, that's no surprise because I never had any education with finances, money, or anything when I was a youngster. So I earned it, I spent it, I didn't save. So, you know, trying to run a successful business now, I knew I needed that support. And so did Owen. And Bavish has been that guy to give us that support. So he's been a godsend for the FSD Academy.
So with the FSD Academy looking like it's got a brilliant structure now in place, thanks to Bavish, what are your objectives for the future?
So we want students to either progress at football and try to earn money from football, whether that's semi-professionally or professionally. We have obviously apprentice roles within our own business. We have work placements with a number of other businesses that some of the graduates have gone on to. Higher education, so university, what quite a few of the students have gone on to. Or apprenticeships with other places and other companies. And 4 months ago, we decided that because we're getting such good results with the environment that we've created at the FSD Academy with some of these post-16 boys and girls, we decided that it was time to move into the alternative provision sector, which is kids that are at school that are really struggling in that schooling environment. And the schools are struggling to try and, you know, cope with certain types of behavior or personalities. So we decided that we thought the model that we use with the post-16 boys, girls, we could use and it be effective with younger children. So we started that 3 or 4 months ago, and we've now got 13 students between 12 and 16 that are on that program. And some of those kids have turned their behavior around and gone back into the schooling environment full time. So for me, the pathway is getting there early, try and be more proactive than reactive, and keep building the FSD Academy and the alternative provision moving forward. And the more that we do that, the more it will give us the scope to, through the CIC, reach out into the communities to try and help and support others in the communities.
Well, Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. How can we find out more about yourself and FSD Academy?
So the FSD Academy website is www.fsdacademy.com. So that's the best place to find us there. And then FSD Academy on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. We're quite big on there as well. So anyone that follows us can join the journey and hope to see us continue the good work that we're trying to do.
So that's it for this episode of the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. Thank you to our guests, Bav from BRS Accountants and Tax, and Matt Piper of FSD Academy. If you have a spare 5 minutes and want to learn more about the projects Koi Sports are currently working on, head over to our website, koisports.co.uk, or search for us on social media. And don't forget to subscribe and download our podcast series. And we'll hear more from the business and grassroots sports sector next time.